Okay, so we are at the towards the end of the parak. We're going to take a look first. Maybe we even do two halacha days left at the side. But there is a pasuk towards the end, which maybe has basis earlier in the Aseres HaDibros, as we actually pointed out. Sort of, not really. That is the pasuk of Lo Tasuniti towards the end, pasuk Chaf. Lo Tasuniti Elokei Kesef Elokei Zahav Lo Tasulachem. You're not permitted to make for me gods of silver and gods of gold. You shall not make for yourself. Then it gets into the issue with the Mizbechos. So what is that referring to? So, right, so Rashi says, Lo tasun dmus shamashai hamishamshin lefanei b'marom. That you shouldn't make the images of those things that serve me in the, in the heights. So what is that referring to? So the Gemara interprets that as being that you're not permitted to make images of angels, nor are you permitted to make images of sun, moon, stars, nor are you permitted to make images of people. All those, nor are you permitted to make images of kelim that were used in Beis Hamikdash. All of those things are learned out from this pasuk. Now Rashi isn't explicit about all those things, but he was explicit about it earlier, that in the Aseres HaDibros, the pasuk tells us, that you're not allowed to make these idols, neither things that are in the heavens nor things that are on the ground, or in the water that's under the ground, and you're not allowed to bow down to them. So Rashi said, what is that? That is the prohibition of making these images. You're not allowed to make images of these types of things. To that the Ramban said that the Rashi is against our Gemara, that even though Rashi, there is basis that such a prohibition exists, that's not what's being learned out from those psukim. Rather, it's being learned that those prohibitions are being learned out from the end of the parak. Rather, the prohibitions within the Aseres HaDibros are all surrounding the issue of Avodah Zarah itself, not the creation of Avodah Zarah. But those drushos appear within Rashi here, but really towards the end of the parak is where there's clearly a prohibition of making these types of images. So that is problematic. Wait a second. So that means I'm not allowed to have a picture at all of sun, moon, stars. What about the books that our kids make in kindergarten when they come out with the Bereshis, or pictures that are put on the wall, or pictures that are found in the newspaper, or maps of constellations? All of
silver and gold.
What? Yeah, but it's not bound to that. It's interpreted by the Gemara as being no, all of those things. All of those things are then prohibited. Here it says in the Gemara, where did it go? Lotasuniti. Lotasun kidmos shamashay hamishamshin lefanim amaram. You shall not make images of my servants who serve before me on high. Elapshita b'motzi. Rather, it's obvious the Gemara. That gets into the Brisa itself. And then it's talking about whether one can assume that they were ever used for Avodah Zarah, etc. But there clearly is this prohibition of not making those types of images. So how far does that go? So if somebody wants, there is an article available in English by Rabbi Michal Zilberman, a friend of mine, that was written in the RJJ Journal, where he covered many of these issues in depth. So there is a machlokas. So first thing the Gemara says on that, the Tosfos says on that Gemara, that's not referring to a prohibition of just having a picture, just having a painting, because that's okay. The problem is having a three-dimensional thing. Two-dimensional is okay. It's really three-dimensional that is a problem. And the reason being, because that's the way that the sky is set up, that you have the moon, the sun, the stars. They're not necessarily, it's not painted on the same background. There's depth to it. So the real prohibition is only when there is depth. However, that doesn't seem to be the way that we paskin, that is the way that we do mention, that we do paskin Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Mem Aleph Sif Dalid. So it says, Asur Letzayet Suros Shebemadur Shechina Kigon Dalip. Well, that has to do with the angels that are exists. The minimum moon, but Lota Valbishaka, Osam Shurgam, Begum, Shim, Sime, because of the Simon Mutulas Osam, the Tsuras Chama, Vulavan, and the Kuchavim, Asur being Boletas, being Shokas, that they have images of the sun and the moon and the stars, so that is prohibited whether it be sticking out or whether it be engraved. The Imehim, Lehislam made, and then it goes in to say to perhaps what one of the big heters are. So Shulchan Aruch seems to only say that it's a problem if it is, if there's a three-dimensional aspect to it. The problem is, however, that the Shach disagrees. The Shach says, no, that only that heter of it being three-dimensional, that only has to do with the images of humans. It does not have to do with the images of heavenly things, and therefore it's going to be a problem even if it's two-dimensional. And the way he quotes the Poskim here in his article, including from Rav Shechter, he assumes that such things are, in fact, prohibited, to have two-dimensional pictures of these types of images, so that is a problem. So, wait a second, probably many of us could think of paintings or pictures that we have in our home that has these types of images on them. So is there, in fact, any possibility for a leniency? So the Gemara itself has a discussion of somebody who had these types of images in their house. His name was Rabbi Gamliel. He's a pretty impressive guy. So the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, wait a second, Tanan Hasam, the most surus levanos hayu lo the Rabbi Gamliel, that Rabbi Gamliel had depiction of each of the various shapes of the moon, baliyasu b'tavla b'kosel, in his upper chamber on a tablet on the wall. He had some kind of board that he had in his courtroom, and when people would come to do Kiddush HaChodesh, so he would give them diagrams and say, did it look like that? Did it look like that? So how could he do this? He would show the simple folk, do you see it like this, or do you see it like that? So how is that okay? Umishari, the Gemara asks, how can you do that? Doesn't the Pasuk say you shouldn't make these kinds of things for me? You shouldn't do these types of don't make images of my servants who serve me. How is that okay? So the Gemara has a pretty long discussion to this. Finally, rounds out the answer with a couple of possibilities. So he says, first of all, well, if it's done in a public place where there are many people and everybody knows that it's not for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, so maybe that's okay. So this came under Nasihu, because he was the Nasi, Shchicha Rabin Gambeh, there are many people around him, so therefore it's okay. V'ibayisema, or you could say that it was the Prakim Havai, that it was made of interlinking parts, that there wasn't just one picture, it sounded like it was some kind of puzzle, and therefore maybe it was okay. V'ibayisema, or the third one is Lisla made shiny, that to learn from it is okay. The Tanya lo tilmad la'asos, val ata lamed lahavin lahoros. That you're not allowed to learn to act in according to these things, but you can learn in order to understand and teach his laws. I mean, you shouldn't learn to act like the Avodah Zarah, but to be able to show this is what people worshipped, or even better in our case would be, this is what a sun start looks like, and this is what a lunar eclipse looks like, and this is what a half moon looks like, and a full moon, and a quarter moon, and a waning moon, and a waxing moon, etc. Right? So perhaps that falls under the heter of Lehislamid. So that heter of Lehislamid is actually quoted in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch it says, kulan mutaros afilu boltos. All these things should be permissible. V'yesh matirim b'shal ravim d'leika chashad. And similarly, the Rama adds that if it's for many people to use, so then maybe it becomes permissible. So is that okay? So the truth is, So one can make a case, well, all of these things should then be okay, right? If a child is making, a five-year-old child is making in a picture of what the fourth day of creation looked like, or is drawing a picture of what Yaakov's dream, of what Yosef's dreams look like, so then that's Lehislami. That should be for the purposes of learning. So the truth is, it's not, Poskim don't quite make that full extension. Rav Moshe has a teshuvah, where he talks about many, many different things. This is in Or HaChaim Chelekei Simen Tes, Sif Katan Vav. It's one of these tshuvos where he talks about many things and each one gets their own topic within the tshuva. So he says, one of the issues are, what about children who make with their hands or with paintings pictures of the moon and the sun? Is that a problem? So he says, well, if it really looks like the moon and the stars, so then that could be a problem, but that's not necessarily what's going on here. When my when my 3-year-old, when Yosef comes home with a picture of what the sun, the moon, and the stars look like, it doesn't really look too much like the sun, the moon, and the stars. So he says, so therefore, because it's not really precise at all, so Rav Moshe says it's hard to say that it's prohibited. But he thinks to say that, well, but to train them in such a thing, if that's going to be part of their chinuch, that you can paint these things, so Rav Moshe seems to indicate that that's inappropriate. It says inappropriate, either not, they're not doing a prohibition because they're not doing it very well. Okay, but the assumption is that they might get better. So Rav Moshe seems to have a problem. He says, right? If it's not really a dimyon mamish, it should be okay. As we quote, the Raki Mene Abriyas Domo L'chama Asr Aval, Bishvil Zeh, Lo Tov, it's not good. L'lamed L'tinokos L'asot Siyuri Chama L'Havana, to teach children how to make pictures of the sun and the moon. The Rotsim Shilam, the Barov Zman, L'asot Siyur Mahadmus Mamish, Shizeh Ha'hu Davar Asr. Because from more time putting into it, they're actually going to learn how to make the sun and the moon, and that's Asr. V'lamad Olam, why would we teach it to them? Kiven Sheyokhlo L'tzayr Hitiv Nesron, because when they actually get good at it, then it's going to be usher. Right? So that's not a good idea. So he doesn't think that that is appropriate. So is there any, you know, where do we go from here? Where could possibly a heter come from? So there is. What is this whole isser based on? What is this whole premise based on? Now, if based on what we've said so far, right? What is the prohibition of drawing these things? Is it the Reis or the Rabbanan, what we've been talking about so far? It's all based on a pasuk, right? Yeah. If it's based on a pasuk, it's interpreting a pasuk, so that sounds like it's an issue to Oraisa. So the truth is, not so fast. It's not necessarily a biblical prohibition. It could very well be that the biblical prohibition is specifically connected to Avodah Zarah. That if it is, where is this based on? It's based on don't make these things because that will lead you to Avodah Zarah. But if it's clearly not having to do with Avodah Zarah, so then maybe it's okay, or maybe at least it's not an Isser D'Oraisa. So the Shulchan Aruch does not make that distinction. Shulchan Aruch says, well, whether it's for Avodah Zarah or not, it's going to be a problem. However, the Chachma Sadam does make that distinction. Chachma Sadam says, the Chachma Sadam, are you familiar with the Chachma Sadam at all? We put in the Chai Adam. We talked about the Chai Adam. We mentioned the Chai Adam a few times. Chai Adam is lived in Bola in 1700. He wrote a very prominent Kitzur Halacha book. Nowadays, people use the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch more, but Chai Adam and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch are the two main competitors in that genre of literature. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is unique in that it covers, well, in theory, it covers all Dalet Chelkit Shulchan Aruch in one volume. It's not the case. Chai Adam itself is written on Or Chaim issues, right? So Shabbos, holidays, brachos, davening, etc. And then there's a separate book called the Chachmas Sadam, which is written on Yoredeya issues, and there's a commentary on the bottom of it called Bina Sadam. So all of these have to do with, again, the name was, I think Ginsburg was the name of the, Danzig, Avram Danzig was the Rav, it was the Vilna, yeah. So he has a comment here where he says, just as it's prohibited for you to make, and I'll ask a non-Jew to make it for you either. Why? Right, just as there's a prohibition on Shabbos to ask a non-Jew to do things on your behalf, and I'll ask a non-Jew ever to do things on your behalf. That is not totally clear. The Gemara has that. The Gemara itself asks that question. If Amir la'akum, the prohibition of asking non-Jews to do work for you, or to do things that you're not allowed to do, but that applies to other things except for Shabbos, and the Gemara doesn't come to a clear conclusion on that matter, and the Rishonim don't come to a clear conclusion on that matter. So it's not totally clear. We generally assume that it's a problem. This came up recently in the Monday night shiur with regards to haircuts. So Jews not allowed. Not only is the Jew not allowed to have his pays cut off, you're not allowed to ask. You're not allowed to cut it off either. So what about asking a non-Jew to cut it off for you if the Jew itself is not moving at all? So would that be okay? So we assume not. So it would probably be a prohibition of Amir al-Akum. So anyway, so that discussion shows up there a little bit because the Ramah has a line where he says that if you have a non-Jew cut off the payas of a Jewish katan, of a Jewish boy, a child, says that's okay. So why is that okay? Right. Either the little kid is going on his own, in which case we can't, don't have any control, or you're bringing the kid there and the barber is cutting it off of the kid, right? So that seems to be, that should be a problem of Amir al-Aqlam. So why is that okay? So you have to work on, figure out what the answer is for that question. But anyways, he says here, to ask him to do it would be a problem, right? The Nira Li, so he says, however, the Tsuras Adam Bizman Hazeh Mutter Shahosan, that the Tsura of a person Bizman Hazeh, a person is also included in these prohibitions, you're allowed to have today. Why? The came with the Eino Elam Yishum Chashad, but it's only really in the problem because of a concern. V'yadua, the Mizman HaZeh, Ein Ovrim L'Tzuras Adam. And nowadays, Ovdin L'Tzuras Adam, nowadays nobody worships people. But Osen Shenevar, Osen Oso Mishuna, and those that worship them make the people different. The idols that are worshipped as a Vodazar are not regular idols. They're like fancy people. So therefore, it should mishuna v'chol hamislamdim hanavdim yish bechol echad mehem simin ve'elu vabei aso l'ashosim v'al shar tzuras adam. But other images of people, v'chol shekeinim sima ina v'chiyotzi bo de'in bo mishum chashad. But certainly, if you knock out an eye or something like that, so there shouldn't be a problem of chashad. So the chacham adam seems to be saying that there should be a major difference from back in the good old days to today. That nowadays, since Avodah Zarah is not really rampant, perhaps there is a heter for many of these things. So perhaps that then, even though we wouldn't necessarily assume straight out like the Chacham Sadam, perhaps you could put the two of those prohibitions together, the two heterim together, in order to come with a greater heter. I mean, the idea that, oh, well, if it's only being used to learn from, so that's not such a great heter. I mean, there's a difference between learning about the sun and Rabbi Gamliel trying to figure out exactly what you know, that's a different level of l'hislamed than a kid in second grade is doing. But if you put that together with the Chachmas Adam, which might be suggesting a leniency that would be all-encompassing Bizman HaZeh, so maybe you could have a heter for the purpose of l'hislamed, for the purpose of learning, that maybe one would have the right to be more lenient, and that's probably what people are, the fact that people are lenient Bizman HaZeh on many of these issues is probably based on those combination of factors. Not necessarily, you know, there are those that are machmer on it. There is, and we mentioned the idea of Tsuras Adam. Tsuras Adam, in a way, is more makil than this, the image of a person, because the prohibition is only if it's three-dimensional. Right? So that sounds like a big kula. However, many of us do have images of people in our homes that are three-dimensional. Right? Certainly if you have children in your house, right? They have things called dolls, or they have things called G.I. Joe action figures, or, well, I might be dating myself, but other types of things that people have that are images of persons. So are those problematic? So he actually quotes in this article from Rav Eliashiv that said, yeah, it is a problem. It is a problem. If you have these types of things in your house, you should make a change in them so that they clearly are not the image of a person. I mean, knock out an eye, or pull off the nose, or do any of the other things that sadistic 7-year-olds will do anyways. But only the boys do it, the girls don't do it. So with the girls, you have a bigger challenge with the dolls. So there is I couldn't have a chance to look it up, but if you have the book All for the Boss, anybody heard of the book All for the you have in your house? You've read it? Ah, so All for Your Boss is about a very impressive Jew that was an Orthodox Jew on the Lower East Side of Manhattan in, I think, the 30s, 20s, 30s, 40s, someplace in that era, where it was very difficult being an Orthodox Jew, and he was tough. Rav Herman was his name, very tough personality, but he raised all of his kids Orthodox. His kids continued to Ad Hayom Hazeh. I think Sheldon Feinstein told me his mother was good friends with Rav Herman's daughter. In the in that area, Lower East Side. So there's a story in that book where his daughter was playing with a doll, and he came home and looked at it and said, "Ah, Avodah Zarah!" and came over, pulled out an eye or something like that, and then gave it back to her. So the girl, understandably so, wasn't so thrilled about the surgery that her father had just done on the doll. But that he is passing like that machmer opinion. However, some say that you don't have to be so machmer on that. One had that it's clear that it's either l'hislamed, or it's clear that it's that it's not for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, or perhaps it's clear that it is derech Derech Bizayon. So there is, I thought I'd have a chance to look it up. They have a copy of the Sefer here, but then my Kashrus meeting, instead of being 45 minutes, was 2.5 hours long. And I'm not even sure if it's over yet. But there is a Sefer here in the library here, Shail Sechuvas Az Nidberu, which is from Rav Stern from Australia. So he's quoted here as having a tshuva saying that that's the permissibility of having mannequins. Now, why is it permitted to have mannequins in the house? Well, you have this Chachmas Adam that says that people don't worship them, and if you would worship them, it would be they would look differently, etc. So, what has the right to be mikkel? Right, so sculptures also would perhaps fall, perhaps, although remember the Chachmas Adam said that those that are worshipped look different. So, okay, I mean, people that are mikkel based on the Chachmas Adam, but it's you know, not everybody would necessarily agree to that. I mean, in a Haredi home, you wouldn't find such a thing. I remember when I was in that Mishnah about Rebbe Gamliel with the images. So that appears in Maseches Rosh Hashanah as well. So I was a counselor in Moresh HaKolel, and the Kolel was learning Maseches Rosh Hashanah that summer. And all of a sudden, one afternoon, the kids come running back into the bunk and start saying, "Your bed sheets are Avodah Zarah. Get them out." So why? Because I had these bed sheets that had images and actually had a moon and stars on it that are actually glow in the dark. So he goes, "Hey, get out of here. So we went and asked for Mordechai Willig. We brought my sheets into the Beis Medrash and let him take a look at it. And he said, "Nah, you don't have to worry about it because it's Derech Bizayon." That Derech Bizayon means you use it in a non-dignified way, meaning you sleep on it, so therefore it should be permissible. To which point I pointed out to Rabbi Willig. He said, "But wait a second, Rabbi Willig, they're glow in the dark." To which he said, "All right, still considered derech mizayon, and therefore it should still be considered okay." So that is the general thing having to do with images of sun, moon, stars, people. We talked about a little bit. There's one other thing that the Gemara comments that lo tasuniti also means you're not permitted to make images of the kelim in the Beis Hamikdash. So that's not that big of a problem unless you go to Lancaster and check out the Mennonite temple there, where they have a replica of the kelim in the Beis Hamikdash for reasons that I don't quite understand. But that's not so much of a problem either, because the din is that in order for you to actually violate that prohibition, it actually has to be to scale. It actually has to be usable in the Beis HaMikdash. And that generally is not an issue, because we have specific measurements for all of the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. And we're not baking those kinds of kelim to those particular dimensions. However, there is one kli in the Beis HaMikdash that there is no specific measure that it has to be, and over our history was different sizes. Anybody know what that would be? The menorah, right. The menorah was over our history, was different sizes. It was built very nicely. We know during the time of the Maccabees, when the Maccabees took over, they, I think, installed a wood menorah, if I recall correctly, and then they made it nicer, and over years they made it better and nicer, etc. We gave a shiur last year in the Thamedrash about the menorah that appears on the Arch of Titus, how it's a little problematic to say that was the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. If you look carefully at that image of the menorah, there's images on the steps of that menorah that are of like serpents and things like that, which is actually explicitly prohibited in this Gemara also, that you're not allowed to have those types of things on kelim. So how is that okay? So the menorah changed over time. There's some theories as to how that came about, but the menorah changed over time. So that then a problem to have this manazes. So yeah, that sounds like it would be to have menorahs that are seven, that are usable, that in theory would be usable in the Beis HaMikdash, that have seven branch menorahs. Sounds like it should be a problem to have in Yisrael. There is, however, one heter for that, and that is that most of these menorahs are electric. Right, that they're electric, and there's bulbs that come out of the top, and therefore it's okay. So if they're unable to function as a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, why would they be unable to function as a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? Because if they're electric, course, there's no place to put the oil. Right? So if they are built in a way that they're unusable as a kli in the Beis HaMikdash, so it's probably not a violation of this din. So you see, there are shuls that have menorahs that are seven candles. That the hezer. Sometimes in my shul growing up, there was a seven branched menorah, but the middle one. The middle one had like a star, mugging David on top instead of, right? But be aware that there is such a prohibition on the books, and you should keep it in mind. And those that build the Lego, Lego replicas of the Beis HaMikdash, so that you can actually possibly run into a problem under that scenario. But anyways, those are some of these halachos. So again, images. Things in the sky, people, as well as Caleb in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah.
So if you're a budding astronomer and you have these photographs,
right. So that's probably under the heter of lehislamed, of using it for educational purposes.
Really?
Well, why not? You said you're a budding astronomer.
Yeah, but you have it in your house and other people see it and it's beautiful and whatever.
Right.
That's problematic, isn't it?
So some would say, yeah, you shouldn't have that. How could you have that? So I think you put together the prohibition of l'islami together with the heter of l'islami together with that. Well, everybody knows you're an astronomer, of course. Everybody knows. So you put that together. That would be the basis for a heter. Okay. All right. Have a good Shabbos.
Rabbi, I have a question for you.